Like to invite you to take the Word of God and open it up to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, and we're going to be reading verses 35 through 38 just here in a moment. I want you to try to imagine something a little ridiculous. I've thought about this, and some way to tell you a story that you will get the meaning of what I'm trying to express, and I have to admit that it is a little ridiculous, but just bear with me, okay? I want you to think about a young man that has fallen in love with a young woman, and he loves her, and he wants to marry her, but he just doesn't have the courage to pop that question. He's scared of denial. So what he comes up with, he comes up with this plan that he's going to buy her a ring. It's going to be a diamond solitaire. And it will be an engagement ring, but he's not going to tell her that it's an engagement ring. He's just going to tell her that it's a present. And then after he takes her home after a nice date, he's going to give her that present. Tell her not to open it right now. Open it later on tonight and then tomorrow when I see you. You tell me what you think about it. So he does. He goes and buys her a nice diamond solitaire. Very expensive. Of course, it's in that pretty little box. You know, it's got that fuzzy velvet stuff on the top. And then on the inside, it's got that smooth satin stuff in there. And then, you know, it's got the little gold hinge on the backside and got a little clasp on it. I mean, just pretty, pretty box. So he does, and he wraps it up. I mean, has it professionally wrapped. He get through with a nice date, and he hands it to her, and he says, "Now listen, sweetheart, will you take this, and tonight open it up, and tomorrow when I see you, just tell me what you think." So she does, and the next day he talks to her, and he said, "Well," said, "what do you think about that present?" And she said, "Oh, it was wonderful. I mean, it was just beautiful. I loved that little box. I mean, that little box, it had that little fuzzy stuff on that velvet on top. And on the inside was that soft velvet and that gold hinge on the back. I loved it." And she just gave him a big hug. And he said, "Well, yeah, the box was, it was okay. But what about inside the box?" And she said, "Oh, that old piece of wire with that piece of glass on it." She said, "I threw that away." Now, I know. That's pretty silly, right? That's a little ridiculous. But what I want you to understand is no more ridiculous than what people think of their body. And what I'm relating to is the body is that box. And they pay no attention to what's inside that box, that diamond. That is your soul. That is your soul. See what we do? We pet and pamper and we praise this side, the outside of this body, but we neglect what is on the inside. And the inside of our body is our soul. Read with me. Mark 8, verses 35 through 38. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel," now the gospel is the good news, "will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Folks, your soul is a tremendous worth. And that's what I want us to speak about tonight. Title of tonight's lesson, very simple. The value of your soul and a soul. There are three things I want to lay on your heart tonight. Number one is it's a fabulous treasure. Your soul is a fabulous treasure. I've said this many times standing right here. You can take all the diamonds, all the rubies, all the stocks, all the bonds, all the gold, all the silver, all the material things in the entire world and combine them. Combine them. And it will not value the worth of your soul. Why is your soul so valuable? Why is a soul so valuable? Five reasons, real quick. Number one, creativity. Creativity. Who created your soul? I mean, if you was to go to an auction and you see Picasso has labeled his signature down there at the bottom of a painting, you say, whoa. Hey, that's worth something, right? Or what about Thomas Kincaid? What if you had two paintings and one was signed by Thomas Kincaid and one was signed by somebody you don't even know? Hey, that one signed by Thomas Kincaid, that's valuable. Creativity. What if you saw a sculpture and down there at the bottom of it had Michelangelo? You go, hey, wait a minute now. That's worth something, isn't it? You know what the Bible tells us in Genesis 2 and verse 7? It says, God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a what? A living soul. Creativity. God created you. Ephesians 2 says, we are His workmanship, created in His image. Creativity, first reason. Potentiality, the second reason. Not only what you are, but what you could be. See, you are who you are right now, but you can also be something else. You've got either two choices here. You can follow Satan and be in despair, or you can be transformed into the likeness of the Father's Son if you follow Christ. A lot of people do not realize the potential that they have. What makes something valuable? You ever heard somebody say, hey, hold on to that. That's going to be worth something someday. Folks, that's your soul. That is your soul. And not only potentiality, but durability. How long will it last? You ever went to like a clothing store and something be on sale and it's marked down, you know, probably 80 or 90%. And you try it on and it fits good and it's comfortable and it makes you look good. And you come out of there with just a smile from ear to ear because you got it at a really, really great price. And you're just happy. And then you wash it a couple of times and some of the threads starting to unravel in it. Not durable, is it? What about your soul? What about your soul? How long will your soul last? Folks, your soul will be in existence somewhere forever. I listened to a guy describe eternity. Now, I want you to picture this. The farthest planet away, even in another galaxy, in the farthest galaxy away. Say it takes 100 million years. Let's have a little bird. He comes down and he gets one grain of dirt in his beak. And he flies for 100 million years back to this other planet. And he drops that grain. And he flies back. And he gets another grain. And he flies back. And on and on and on until he moves the whole entire earth to this other planet. The guy said, then it's only breakfast time in eternity. It's only breakfast time in eternity. Eternity is forever and ever. It's endless. It's dateless. It's timeless. It's measureless. For all eternity, your soul will either be in heaven or it will be in hell. Now, I want to clarify something real quick. Our loving, kind, and forgiving Savior, Jesus the Christ, preached more about hell than he ever did about heaven. There's a lot of people that give a preacher that is a hellfire and brimstone type preacher. They think that man is cruel and not being kind. One guy wrote, a preacher wrote this. He said, "I'd rather be called cruel for being kind than to be called kind for being cruel." Folks, the cruelest thing that I could do to you is to stand up here and tell you there is no hell. The cruelest thing I could do is not to warn you that someday your soul could exist in hell for eternity. Think about your soul. Think about your soul. Let's just pause right here. And then think about eternity. There was a time that you were not, but there will never be a time that you will not be. You understand that? There was a time that you were not, but there will never be a time that you will not be. Creativity, potentiality, durability, rarity. Rarity. If something is rare, it's very valuable, right? That's how the price gets put on things. If it's very, very rare, it is valuable. Remember toilet paper back in March? Remember hand sanitizer back in March? It was rare. There were people making their mortgage payment with one roll of toilet paper. No, I'm joking. There was some cute comments on Facebook about that. But it was rare. And it was valuable. A lot of people say, "Well, Rodney, there's a lot of souls out there." And to that one part, there is. Yes, part of that is true. But folks, there's only one soul that is like you. You see, God don't make a double. He does not make a double. He has never have, and he never will. There's only one of you. The same way that there are no two snowflakes the same. The same shape. There's only one of you. And that you are rare, and that makes you valuable. The last thing that makes your soul so valuable is the desirability. Desirability. You ever had something appraised? And a lot of times people they'll give you a rough estimate of what something is worth. They can go by the guidelines of maybe a home, where it's at, the location, the structure of it, how old it is. They can do all that. But you know what most appraisers will tell you, and this is not only on homes, but it's on just about anything. You could take coins or guitars or anything. You know what they'll tell you? They'll say it just all depends on what somebody is willing to give. That'll be their last remark when you ask them what something is worth. They'll say, "Well, it really just comes down to this. It just depends upon what somebody will give." So now, is your soul valuable? Jesus the Christ thought it was. He thought it was very valuable. He thought it was so valuable that he went to Calvary and he put his body up on a cross because he thought your soul was so valuable. You want to know what your soul is worth? Take a good hard look at Calvary. Take a good hard look at it. That's what your soul is worth. You ever had something that maybe you didn't care anything about? Maybe something that was just wasting away? Maybe something that you don't want? And you know somebody that would desires to have that, and they came and they said, "Hey, can I have that?" Everybody would say, "Well, of course. I don't want it. I have no desire for it." Of course you can have it. Folks, God wants your soul. God wants your soul. And he wants it so much that he gave his only son to die on the cross. He desires it. Number one, your soul is a fabulous treasure. Not only is it a fabulous treasure, but Jesus says it's a foolish transaction. Now, Jesus is talking, if you're a business person, he's talking about a profit and loss statement here. Look in verse 36. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? This is profit and loss. He's wondering, what good is it? What a foolish transaction that someone would be willing to forfeit their soul for the material things of this world. There's three foolish reasons. Number one, you can't gain the whole world. You can't do it. There's people that have tried many times. You can't do it. There's people that's gained a little bit of the world, but nobody. Nobody ever has gained the whole world, and nobody ever will gain the whole world. Number two, even if you could gain the whole world, you couldn't keep it. This place is temporary. You're going to die. Death runs in my family. I'm going to die. You're going to die and you're going to leave it. You can't keep it. If you gain the whole world, and if you could gain it, and if you could keep it, it would never satisfy you. There's too many people that place so big of a satisfaction degree upon the material things. And what do? They make them happy for a brief period of time. And as soon as the new is gone, they're not happy anymore. The only way satisfaction or happiness will come is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the only way. Someone tries to be satisfied, tries to satisfy their soul with material things, they're wasting their time. Verse 36 again, Jesus says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? What a loss. It's an immeasurable loss. I mean, this is a loss that you can't measure. Jesus is saying that one soul is worth more than everything combined in the world. But not only is it immeasurable loss, but it's an irreplaceable loss. You know, there's things that we lose that you can replace. I mean, there's things that we lose that you can substitute it with something else. But a soul, you can't. You can't replace a soul once it's lost. And you can't substitute anything for a soul when it's lost. Not only an immeasurable loss and an irreplaceable loss, but it's an irreversible loss. You're not going to stand before the throne of God someday and say, okay, God, now I get it. I get it now. Now I want your mercy. It's irreversible. Once you take your last breath, it's over, folks. It's over. If you want grace, you can have it. If you want forgiveness, you can have it. If you want mercy, you can have it. But you have to have it in this life. Once you take your last breath, it's irreversible. There's no changing it. What did Paul say? It is appointed unto man once to die, and then judgment. You can't get up there and change your mind. You can't say, I'm sorry. Now I understand what forgiveness is, God. I want it now. It's too late, folks. It's too late. But it's also an inexcusable loss. It's an inexcusable loss. You do not have to lose your soul. You don't have to. There's no excuse and there's no reason for someone to die and to go to hell. And that's the bottom line. They were three men in a restaurant. Two of them were unsaved, and one of them was a Christian. And the two unsaved men, they got into a really, really violent argument and got heated, and one looked at the other one, and he says, "You go to hell." You ever heard somebody say that? How somebody can assign somebody a place to go to? That's what he said. And the Christian that was standing right there, he pierced his heart, and it hurt him. And he leaned over to the man that just got that told to him. And he whispered in his ear, he said, "Listen, you listen to me. I just got through reading the instructions. And you don't have to go there if you don't want to. You don't have to go to hell." Verse 35 again. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." You don't have to go to hell. Nobody does. Nobody does. It's a fabulous treasure, number one. It's a foolish transaction. When you bargain with your soul for what this world has to offer, it is a foolish transaction. And the third and final point tonight I want you to see, it's a fatal tragedy. It is a fatal tragedy. There's no greater tragedy than a lost soul. Does anyone ever count the cost? What a loss. I want to close with just a story. There was a man coming from a foreign country, coming over on a boat, and he had sold everything that he owned, and he had it put into a diamond. Had it put into a big old diamond. And he had that diamond in his pocket. And he's on the boat, and he's coming over to the United States. He's going to start a new life. He's got that diamond. And so he's got the diamond in his pocket. He's on the boat. He's out on the deck, and he decides he wants to look at that diamond. So he pulls it out of his pocket, and he's looking at it. And, of course, he has people around him, and they're, you know, they're gasping, and, Well, he likes the attention. So the next day he comes back up on the deck, and he's standing. He's standing against the rail, and the water's right there. And he's holding that diamond out there over the rail. And they say, "Ooh, you don't need to do that." But he likes the attention. The next day he comes back up. He has a bigger crowd this time. He leans out over the railing, and he actually throws it up, and he catches it. "Don't do that. Don't do that. You'll drop that." So after all the crowd left, of course, a big storm came. He's got his diamond in his hand, and he's walking back across the deck, and the ship goes up, and he falls down, and the diamond rolls out of his hand, rolls off into the water, and kaplunk. To the bottom of the ocean it went. And you're sitting there thinking, how could anyone be that foolish? Aren't you? I mean, if you had a diamond that was worth all of that, you'd be in the bottom of that boat, and you wouldn't even step foot on the deck. And you say, "Rodney, that's very foolish." But folks, there are people out there. There are people out there that are that foolish, that they neglect what is on the inside of that body, and that is their soul. There's a lot of people right now that is in torment in Hades that would love to have the chance that you and I have today. There's a lot of people that would love to have a second chance to say, "Hey, I made a mistake." Folks, you don't have to lose your soul. There is no reason for it. No one has to go to hell. How do you keep from that? Well, you confess your faith in Jesus. As simple as that. You confess that He is God's Son. You repent of your sins. And then all of those sins are washed away right here in this baptistry. And what you do, you reenact Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. If you're here tonight or if you're watching online, maybe something that has been said tonight has pierced your heart. And I want you to understand, no one has to go to hell. Now, Satan is going to tell you you've got plenty of time to make that decision. And Satan is a liar. He has no idea how much time that I have left in my life. He has no idea how much time that you have left in your life. Only God knows that. Our life could end going home tonight in a car accident. You don't have to go to hell, but you have to confess Jesus during this life on earth. If you'd like to do that, I ask you to come right now as together we stand and as we sing.